broadcasting live from the Toyota Studios.
Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
On your favorite Arkansas sports talk station.
Oh, man. Radio?
Yes, talk radio.
It's so boring, man.
Okay.
Streaming live from
HitThatLine.com.
I got that wood.
This.
Y'all better put him in the Heisman.
Is.
Smile.
The Morning Rush.
Am I wrong? Because I want to get it on till I die. Am I wrong? Because I want to get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Y'all remember me. Y'all remember me.
With John Neighbors.
Kentucky fans are so classy that they take the dishes out of the sink before they pee in it.
Tommy Kraft.
Tabita, Tualaka Ogno, Tualapa Opano, Mosesetamo, Bahi Ono, Bihokeo, Balai Tutuo. I think I nailed it.
And Nick Mason.
I'm going to invite all my closest friends to play golf, and Tommy Kraft, John Neighbors are not part of that group.
The Morning Rush starts right now.
Glad you're here, and you're here on a good day. It's a What's Your Beef Wednesday on the Morning Rush. John Neighbors is on vacation this week. Kraft has moved over into the captain's chair. You getting rid of him? You run him off, Mason?
No. I'm just telling listen, I tell the truth on this show, so I'm just telling the people the truth. Well, you're trying to cover it up and go find somebody else.
Listen.
I'm just telling the people right now, John isn't coming back. So I apologize. Tommy Kraft will have somebody in here as soon as he can.
First of all, you're stirring the pot. Second of all, the greatest job security you got is this job, and actually being in the captain's chair requires you to be here at 5 a.m. versus the leisurely 5:35, 5:40 I like to roll in. So that's the greatest job security you guys have. With
the
me
5:53
is,
that I like to roll in.
5:58 that you like to roll in here. So, no, John's in South Florida where I wish I was right now, and he'll be at Media Days next week. So as long as you got to roll in here a little bit early, you know, and stay up late and put all this stuff together, it's not as easy as it looks to keep all the plates spinning, particularly in the month of July. But we're glad you're here on a good day.
I know today is What's Your Beef, and I know this isn't necessarily the segment, but I have so many beefs throughout the week that I need multiple segments. Let me ask you something.
All right.
Okay, so, and Brett nor you have had a real job here in a long time. Y'all have had jobs
Hang on.
Let me finish.
All right.
Let me finish. Real was not the adjective I should have used to, I should have said, y'all haven't had your typical jobs over the last 10 to 15 years. Can I say that?
You hadn't a typical pay either.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. True.
Well,
true.
I haven't worked in the NFL. No.
Here goes my beef for everybody out there that you have the typical job, the typical 9 to 5, you have a desk job, or if you drive a truck, whatever the case may be. And what company can you go in your first couple of months on the job, you get a multi-week vacation. You get to go to Florida, then the company flies you to Atlanta, and then you get to come back home. And what company, people, does that happen? And I just don't.
A good one, apparently.
I just don't know of one. So my beef is that I didn't get to take off for 2 weeks during the first 3 months that I was on the job.
Trust me. You've been to SEC Media Days, right? Have you been down there and worked at SEC Media Days? It is not.
I've been down there.
Listen, I can't tell you. Okay. I hear what you weren't saying there. I have done that event 12 or 13 times, and people always say, man, I bet you're excited to go to Media Days. Man, I bet it's a lot of fun to be down there at Media Days. Oh, what? I bet that is so great to hang out at Media. Listen, it is. You need a vacation the week before and the week after, because it is a butt buster, is the best way I can put it, to do what you got to do and to do it right at Media Days. I mean, it is. I mean, Nick, you've been there. You know what I'm talking about. It's an all day. You do the show, particularly when you're doing a morning show.
Yes.
And you get up early, you get over there, you get set up at 0500, and then you're off the air at 9. Well, guess what starts at 9? Everything. So then you're there all day. You're recording audio. Right. And then when you're done recording everything and getting everything, you got to go back and produce it. You got to cut it. You got to get it ready so that you can do it all over again for the fourth day in a row. So, I mean,
right.
You know, everybody thinks you go down there and you're sipping cocktails with Saban. You know, well, no, you're not doing that at all.
That
would
be fun.
It'd be fun if that's what Media Days was. And we're going to have a cocktail party.
You're not silping
with,
them.
You know, that, hey, we're all, you know, Jimbo and Saban and you know, all these coaches are going to be, you know, we're all going to have a big cocktail. That, no, that's not a, that's nothing what happens down there. You know, it's all work. You know, so, you know.
Bielema always gained weight down there at Sam, though, so it's been a lot of buffets.
there is an opportunity or two to eat at Media Days. Now, I don't know how it's going to be in Atlanta. I have, every time I have been, and last year was the first one I had missed since 2005. But, you know.
And now you enjoy that.
And now I'm kind of figuring out, hey, somebody's got to be here and make this thing work. So, someone's got to push these buttons and pull these knobs. So, you know, so I've got to be back here and push these buttons and pull these knobs because Nick Mason's going to Cabo or somewhere next week. I'm not sure where he's going. So,
at least with the SEC Media Days, and I do agree with you as far as if you've done it for, you know, a 10-year stretch, or even if you've done it for a 5 or 6 year stretch, but if you haven't, then it is an experience that that I think everybody who covers the SEC should go at least once. And then this year there's a bunch of new faces, and in which there's a lot of guys that are either in their first year or their second year as head coaches, so it's going to be different. You're not going to see Steve Spurrier. You're not going to see Mark Richt.
Right.
Obviously, I know you didn't see these guys last year either, but you're not going to see Brett Bielema. You're going to see a new captain in Tennessee. You're just going to see a lot of new faces. And so I think it's going to be – it's almost like an injection for SEC Media Days to be able to talk to other people, even though I always found Les Miles and Steve Spurrier to be two of the better interviews.
Put this on Twitter, because I think every industry has what I was just talking about. Everybody out there that does a sales job or does some kind of work has that event that, from the outside looking in, everybody thinks, man, that has got to be a blast to go do that every year. That once or twice a year deal you go do where you're at the big retail show in Vegas or you're at the big event somewhere, and everybody that thinks, man, you got the coolest job ever because you get to go work. And a buddy that works at Oakland, Jason, that just said, yeah, everybody thinks going to work at the Kentucky Derby's the most awesome thing ever. It's not, because
work.
All you're doing is working. Or the Breeders' Cup, because all you're doing is working. You don't get to enjoy any of it. You know, in every industry, there's something like this. Oh, you get to go to Vegas twice a year for the big whatever show. You see the inside of the convention center for 5 days. You're not going to Vegas.
And you don't sleep in your own bed.
Yeah, you're going to a hotel and then to the convention center in a great city that you never get to see for 5 days. You know,
man, what a great city.
Every exactly. So you're setting up a booth and handing out, you know,
career orientation flyers,
can koozies for 16 hours a day or whatever. You know, every industry has this. It's not just there's always that one or two events. And for you, it was training camp. Oh, man. Get to go practice football. How awesome.
It's great.
No, it's not OTAs. Man, I bet you're so happy to be back with your teammates. No.
No. That's why I want to go back after the preseason games.
Exactly. Everybody says, man, you know, no player would ever retire if all they ever had to do is play the games.
No.
Players don't retire from playing games. They retire from practice. They retire from nutrition. They retire from working out. They retire from meetings. They retire from everything but playing the games.
Yeah.
They would play the games forever.
For free, almost.
We would show up and do the radio shows forever if that's all you had to do.
Yeah.
It's just like everything else in life. There's always a lot of work that goes into, and it's this way in any industry. You know, there's just a ton of work to get ready for showtime, you know, whatever it is, game time, whatever you're doing.
That you nobody know? Gives you credit for.
Right. You would never retire from the NFL. You played 10 seasons. You would never quit if all you had to do is show up 16 Sundays.
No, and I had so many people that asked me if I flew back home to Arkansas during the week in between games. Because
idiots.
They don't even think we're working.
What are you doing?
Yeah,
I do. Yeah, I play golf and I go down to the pizza buffet. Yeah.
Real good for my finances.
It's just unbelievable. So, yeah, anyway. So is that your only beef today? Or you didn't negotiate as well as John or what?
I got, yeah, I got it.
Listen, I can have you in Atlanta by Monday. It's not or by Sunday night.
You're already in Georgia anyway.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I get you. I call Thrifty right now and get your rental car and have you over there Sunday night. It's not a problem.
Yeah, but yes, that is definitely
this coming from a guy that's not going to be step foot in this building for like 3 weeks because he's going to Vegas and Hawaii and where else are you going?
But I'm not on vacation though. I'm working. Important meetings.
Not for the radio station.
Okay, so a wise man once told me, as my brand grows, so grows the brand of the radio station.
That guy wasn't as wise as you think he is. So,
well, you're the one that told me that. You didn't tell me about myself, but in so many words, you kind of told me that.
Did I tell you that? All right.
Yeah.
I'm not as wise as you think I am either. Hey, are you a member of the Air Evac Life Team? If you're not, you need to be because, A, it's affordable, and, B, it'll save you thousands of dollars, particularly at a moment that's going to be chaos and be an emergency and maybe one of the worst moments ever in your life. Air Evac Life Team can always be there at your rescue. $85 a year covers you and your entire household. No out-of-pocket expense should you ever need their services. Air Evac, they're in 38 states, 320 locations around the country. And they got bases all over Oklahoma and Arkansas to serve you should the need ever arise. Call Lauren Tepper, 870-280-9325. Again, that's 870-280-9325. Air Evac, they're there when every second counts. All right, coming up, we'll get back to the schedule conversation. Also, we'll hear from Dave Van Horn about a pending contract that's agreed to in principle. That's what he said in his own words. Also, some stadium expansion at Baum Stadium. We'll hear from him about that all coming up straight ahead on the Morning Rush.
Honest Razorback talk that never yields. This is the Morning Rush.
The Morning Rush podcast is brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Freedom Reserve. This red lager is specially brewed for proud veterans across the country. For every case purchased, Budweiser will donate $1 to Fold of Honor, a nonprofit providing scholarships to families of fallen soldiers. Bud Light, please drink responsibly.
6:34 on the Morning Rush. What's your beef Wednesday? We'll get to your beefs coming up in the next hour. You'll hear some of ours. Also, we're going to talk about the new uniforms. Razorback Football on Twitter gave us a little bit of a preview, not a pretty good preview of a new look they're going to have with the uniforms. I asked on Twitter yesterday for some thoughts and comments, and they were kind of all over the board. So we'll do that later on in the show as well. We're looking at the schedule this morning. I know we've kind of, it's been out for months. We all know the games they're going to play. And the 12 games that are on the schedule, starting with Eastern Illinois and ending with a road trip to Missouri. But I want to kind of break it down because, as we talked at the outset of the show, Vegas has the over-under win total guys at 5.5. Brett Goods here, Nick Mason here, I'm Tommy Kraft. You know, but no one's signing up to, hey, let's win 5 and not go to a bowl. If we could just do that, it would be an okay season. No one's having that conversation. Agreed? So
right.
I think the bare minimum for a lot of people this year is at least get to a bowl game. I think that's where people's expectations are. If you only won 5, I think that no one's jumping off a bridge. No one's ready to fire a coach or anything of that nature. But I think finding a path to get to 6 is the conversation people are having, right? So
the ceiling is the floor, as the great Michael Jordan said.
Exactly. So what is the cleanest, clearest path to getting 6 wins? I think you start, obviously, with the non-conference games, and the first 3 weeks of this season are critical. And that's what we were talking yesterday about, the expectations of Chad Morris and just some things as a head coach he needs to do, not just win games. And, we got a lot of those comments on Twitter, just go win games. Well, there's a lot more to being a head coach than just winning games and some things he needs to do in year one. But, guys, I look at his first 3 weeks. Eastern Illinois at home to start the season on September 1st. Road trip to Colorado State, which they've lost some guys, but I'm going to tell you, that's not going to be as easy a road trip as you think for a night game in Fort Collins. And then back at home for September 15th in Fayetteville against North Texas. Now, if you don't win, and I think you need to win all 3 of those to really set yourself up nicely to have a great shot at being bowl eligible in November and certainly by the end of the year. But you talk about the confidence this team would have, the quarterbacks would have, this offense would have, particularly if you played well in a 3-0 start. I think this three-game stretch to start the season does more than just get you three wins. It gets you a lot of confidence as well, heading into what will then be the toughest three-game stretch of about anyone in the country on the back end of that.
It's going to be really tough. I look at Fort Collins, wondering if there's going to be altitude, but 2-1, 3-0 is 3-0 is a lot better than 2-1.
Sure.
That gets you halfway to a bowl.
Yeah, I mean, and you're not out of you're not there yet at 3-0, but you're not out of the woods at you're not out of the game at 2-1 either. But boy, it just puts a damper. If you lose a game, say at Colorado State, and I can't imagine, Nick, if you lost to Eastern Illinois or North Texas. What the mood around this state, what the mood on this show, what the fan sentiment's going to be if you lost one of those games. You would assume if you lost one of the games, it would be the road trip to Colorado State. But it almost seems like a 3-0 starts a must for this program just to get the Chad Morris era off to the right start.
Well, and not just that, but, okay, so if they do go, and I don't think anybody thinks they're going to go 0-3, but if they go 1-2 or even 2-1, if they're losing to North Texas, or if they're losing to even with Colorado State, and I understand it's gonna, I understand the altitude, and now I've never played a football game in Colorado before, but I understand people telling me that. But man, after I saw that report that Andrew Hutchinson put out, where they basically are missing everything on their offensive side, and then the most important position, and we're over here trying to find a quarterback. Well, they're trying to find a quarterback because one of them left school, and then the other one that came in is going to be a star, tore his ACL. So if you happen to not win all three of those games, how are you going to convince me you're going to beat anybody in the SEC? And it's and then even myself, how are you going to convince your team that you're going to beat anybody in the SEC if you can't beat these non-conference foes? So, I mean, it's very, very important. With the talent Arkansas has, or the lack thereof, you have to beat all the teams that you're better than on paper. So you do have to start off winning all three of these games. You do have to start off beating these non-conference opponents, because I promise you, nobody in the SEC is going to be any easier to beat than these three teams.
Yeah, and where would your hope be? I mean, it would almost seem hopeless. If somehow, like you said, the worst case scenario, you go 1-2, I think that has to be your worst case scenario. If you're looking at that, you come out of that stretch, because then you're headed into a stretch that has been described as maybe the toughest three game stretch in college football, and certainly for Arkansas, there's no question it's the hardest part of the schedule. The next three at Auburn, then you go down to Arlington, play Texas A&M, and then you're back home for Alabama. That's the roughest part of the schedule. And you look at that and you think, can you win just one? Can you find a way to steal a victory out of that three? Because at that point, if you don't start at least 2-1 and hopefully 3-0, that's why I'm winning those first three are so important, because you may not get a win there in that middle three games. It may be a while before your fans see you win a game. And for Chad Morris, that's why that early start is so important.
And they're not beating Alabama. We know that for sure. Probably not beating Auburn either. I think we can sign those up for losses. That Texas A&M game, even though Texas A&M has won the last 100 that Arkansas has played against them, that Texas A&M game, though, it doesn't scare me, because I don't believe in all where they have your number, especially whenever everything has changed as much as it has. You're not running the same offense. You're not running the same defense. You have a new offensive coordinator, a new defensive coordinator, a new culture in the locker room. And then on the flip side, Texas A&M is not running the same offense and defense, and they have a new offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator. So that game doesn't scare me as much. But you're right. If you don't win all three of those early games, then coming out of that next stretch, there's no way that you're going to be above 500. I mean, you don't even give yourself a chance at being above 500 if you don't go 3-0 in those first couple, because you're not beating Alabama, you're not beating Auburn with a first-year coach. That's just not going to happen.
And, here's some good news about the A&M game, or I think it is. If you're looking for an edge, you're looking for something to hang your hat on going into that stretch. And there's a couple of games on the schedule this way, but Arkansas gets A&M after A&M comes off Alabama week. And there's a couple of other instances of that where Arkansas plays Mississippi State right after they play Alabama. I think it's always an advantage to the team that's playing a team that's just gotten done with Alabama. It mentally exhausts you. It physically exhausts you. So I think this sets up well for Arkansas, and that they're in the same situation with first-year head coach. Now, their recruiting class last year was much better. They've had much better recruiting classes the last several years than Arkansas. I think their roster is better constructed for what Jimbo Fisher's going to want to do. But you've also got a coach at Arkansas that John Chavis that kind of knows the situation, knows the personnel they've got. So you got a little bit of an edge there in that A&M game. But Brett, how big of an edge is it? Am I overstating the fact that you're getting to play A&M? I don't know. It's the difference maker in the game, but it is a factor in the fact that you're going to get A&M down in Arlington just a week removed from them having to play what's going to be one of the best teams in the country.
And that game's on the road. So I think that's very important. You know, we used to always play teams that would come off the road and they're just drained. Whether it's a long game, it could be, you know, if it's a close game, you're emotionally drained. If it's a blowout, it's just over. You know, you don't know if you have confidence or anything else. You're tired. You want to get home. You get home late. It's a huge deal for Arkansas to be able to have a chance to beat Texas A&M because of that factor.
Arkansas plays three different teams this year. Just looking, I've got the composite grid here. Three different teams that Arkansas has on their schedule that play Arkansas the week following their Alabama game. And, Arkansas plays Auburn following the LSU game, too. That's another physical slobber knocker. But Arkansas plays LSU following the Alabama game that they have the week prior. And that game is in Baton Rouge this year. Arkansas also plays Mississippi State in Starkville this year, but they have Alabama the week prior in Tuscaloosa. And then we mentioned the A&M game as well. That A&M
so are you
plays
predicting
it.
Three SEC wins right
no,
there?
No, I'm just saying it's noteworthy. Right. I'm just saying that.
What if we go 1-2 to start the season and then we do get those three wins?
Well, I mean, those three.
Listen, if you go 1-2 at the beginning, the only, I think Jesus himself has a better chance of coming back than you winning those other three games. Because, I mean, and I know that y'all probably haven't looked into those other teams as much as I have, but I'm telling you, when you start to read about some of these non-conference opponents that Arkansas is playing, and hey, I'm not down on this. I think that they need a couple teams to beat up, but these aren't teams necessarily that are going to be winning 9 or 10 games and that are going to be running through their perspective leagues. These are teams that are going to struggle in the mid-major conferences that they're in. So if you struggle with these teams, and I know people can say, oh, well, it's early and they're trying to get things together. Well, towards the end of the year, towards the middle of the season, every team in the SEC is going to have their stuff together. So I think the first couple of games, it's not going to tell you if Arkansas is going to be good, but it can tell you if Arkansas is going to be bad this season.
I tell you this, if you start out 1-2, you're going to be hoping Tulsa's not very good. That's what you're going to be hoping. That might be your next win if you're starting out that way. And I'm with you. I think Arkansas's got a very good chance to start 3-0 this year, but you got to go do it. And there's as many unknowns about Arkansas as there is about some of these other teams on your schedule. I think there's more unknowns about Arkansas at this point. All right, we'll table the schedule discussion there. We'll get back to that inside the next hour. Brought to you by Williams Tractor in Fayetteville and Bobcat of Northwest Arkansas and Rogers. Big Dog Mowers. You can find them there. They got you covered no matter what the job. Industry-leading 7-year limited warranty and a great price you'll find on these Big Dog Mowers starting at $27.99 or 0% financing for 48 months and zero down with approved credit. Get yours today and take advantage of the Big Dog Hero Program and receive 10% off your next mower. Check them all out at Williams Tractor in Fayetteville and Bobcat of Northwest Arkansas in Rogers today. Our little hoops update on the way. It's 3 in the Lane with Nick Mason next on the Morning Rush.
The most honest sports radio show in Arkansas. The Morning Rush continues next.
The Morning Rush podcast is brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Freedom Reserve. This red lager is specially brewed for proud veterans across the country. For every case purchased, Budweiser will donate $1 to Fold of Honor, a nonprofit providing scholarships to families of fallen soldiers. Bud Light, please drink responsibly.
It is a Watch Your Beef Wednesday on The Morning Rush. I'm Tommy Kraft. Brett Good is here, former Razorback, current NFL free agent. Nick Mason's along. Glad you're here. Keep those beefs coming. At Morning Rush Show on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook as well. Hit that line from ESPN Arkansas. We'll read more of your comments coming up in just a little bit. Hey, if you need to sell heavy equipment like trucks, heavy farm equipment, construction type equipment, you need our friends at Ritchie Brothers. They offer an unprecedented choice in the ways to sell when, where, and how you want. They've been doing it for 60 years. They got operations around the world. And Ritchie Brothers has the experience, the solutions, and the global reach that you need to reach the buyers to maximize your returns. Now, they have different ways of doing it. They can do an unreserved on-site auction at your location, weekly online auctions to make it easy, and reserved online marketplaces, as well as tapping into their extensive buyer network. So whatever you're selling, whether it's one item or a whole fleet of items, you need to talk to our friends over at Ritchie Brothers, because if that's what you're needing to do, liquidate assets to maximize profits, they're there for you because your needs are their purpose. Contact our friend David Lee, 479-651-5331. That's 651-5331, or go to richiebros.com. That's RichieBROS.com for Ritchie Brothers. We've been diving through this schedule and kind of looking at it from the perspective of six wins. I mean, nobody's signing up to, hey, let's go out, guys, and really try to win four or really try to win five. And, you know, six is the floor this year. And I think it's not unrealistic to say six or seven wins this year. I think you start getting north of seven, start getting to eight or nine, you're going to have to do some convincing to me on how that's going to happen this year with a transition year, first-year head coach, and kind of rebuilding a roster. Now, you got a lot of players that have a lot of playing time coming back from a team that didn't win enough games to get to a bowl last year, but you're just going to have to do a good selling job on me to figure out how you're going to get north of seven wins this year. But I do think bowl eligibility is possible. We talked about that first three-game stretch, and then what is, without question, the toughest three-game stretch of the season when you play at Auburn, you play Texas A&M, and you play Alabama. Then you get down to the last half of the schedule, and I think this is obviously where you look at some swing games, and I've got like four swing games on the schedule that I think are going to make the difference in whether you look up at the end of November and you say this was a successful season, this was a season that passes muster, this is a season that, you know, Chad Morris did well in his first year or not. I think it comes down to about four games this year. The A&M game, that's always a swing game for Arkansas. It has been for a number of years. I don't think this season's any different. That's a game you need to win. The Ole Miss game, the Vanderbilt game, and I think the Missouri game on the road. And it may boil down to that final game again of the year. And how many times, Nick, has it done that where you've come down to that final game, and while it doesn't have the appeal that the LSU game used to have the day after Thanksgiving, it still seems like while you're not playing for a championship or a division or something of higher consequence, still seems like Arkansas has been playing for something, whether it's bowl eligibility or just to elevate the quality of your season. I think Arkansas is still going to be playing for something. As Mike Anderson likes to say, you're going to be in the hunt for something the day after Thanksgiving, it feels like.
I'd like to think that headed into that game, Arkansas is at least going to have five wins, or they're going to be sitting at six or seven, and now you're talking about, can you win seven games plus a bowl game being eight, or if you've already won eight games, can you win nine games? Or, you know, we can go through the schedule and talk about all of that. But, yeah, I think six has to be the floor. As a fan base, you can't get into where you're Kansas. And, man, if you can make it to a bowl, that would be great. And, you know, but you're not expecting too much, because whenever the fan base – lowers their expectations, so does the athletic department, so does administration, the AD, the board, everybody does. Because we continue to talk about this, if people would have showed up to games last year, it'd have been a coin flip if Brett Bielema still would have been around. Mm-hmm. But the fans were not about to accept that poor product that continued to be put on the field. Therefore, they didn't go to the games. Therefore, the coach got fired. And I don't think that this is a year to where our Arkansas fans should be feeling sorry for Chad Morris. He has enough to be in contention for a bowl game. You're looking at the schedule, and you're talking about those first three games early on, and you look up, and, I mean, outside of one or two teams, I think that Arkansas has a realistic chance of being in every single game outside of possibly one or two. So if I'm saying that, that means if you're in every game and you start to be in these games where in the fourth quarter it is a possession game, now I want to see how these coaches adjust. I want to see, can Chad Morris win us a couple of games? Can John Chavis, can he call a couple of plays to win us a couple of games? And that's why these guys are being paid as well as they are. And even though Arkansas doesn't have the talent that they've had, that they had whenever Tyler was around, or even before that, whenever Darren McFadden, Clint Sterner, Arkansas doesn't have that type of talent. But if you're looking at their schedule and you're looking at the other teams that they're playing, they do have enough to win 5 to 7 games this season.
Absolutely, they do. Coach Morris and the Razorbacks, the players, they think they can win every game. They're going to. That's just the mindset. But realistically, they can't do that. And we know that. They really know that in the coaching department for sure. But man, what I'm looking at, the more wins, the better recruiting that we're going to have for moving forward.
I just look at, zeroing in on these four games, I've kind of put a star by. A&M down in Arlington. Seems like, Nick, as you said, hadn't beat them, and you're 0 for 100 against these guys. It feels like. You're snake bit in that A&M series. You can't win it. But is this the year when they're kind of in a similar boat? They got a new $75 million coach, but they're in transition. Arkansas has a defensive coordinator that knows that team, knows that program. John Chavis came from there, knows their personnel well. Is this the year you have maybe a better chance than you've had under Brett Bielema? You got Chad Morris going back to his home state, playing his alma mater. Did some things line up this year? And is Arkansas, well-oiled enough coming off, their first four games? By their fifth game, they've kind of got things figured out and lined up, and they've, broke the ice with their first conference game on the road at Auburn. Could they go get that game? That to me is a game that's going to help define what kind of season you got. The Ole Miss game, that's your Little Rock game this year. If, Ole Miss is on the ropes, and Ole Miss is a program that's down right now, that obviously they're fighting, through their sanctions and the NCAA cloud hanging over their program. This feels like a game, that while they may be a more talented roster, their program right now is in such, disrepair. It's just a mess there in Oxford. This feels like a game that's a toss-up game to me, that, particularly at home, you ought to have a good chance to win. And, I'm just looking at that game, the Vanderbilt game, and then I mentioned the Missouri game. Those games, I think, when the lines come out, and we've seen some of these Vegas lines already come out, and Arkansas's left out of a lot of them. I wonder about some of these games. Arkansas's a 13-point underdog to Missouri. Well, how bad is the Bama line at this point? Because I've seen some of their other lines. But, so I expect to be a mighty underdog in that game. But what about the A&M game? What about the Ole Miss game? You couldn't be a bigger underdog to Vanderbilt than 14, could you, at home? I wouldn't think so. Those are the games you better have a pretty good chance of winning and going 2-2 in those games if you're going to get to where you want to be at the end of the year, and that's bowl eligible.
No, I think you better beat Vandy and Ole Miss. I think you need to win those games. You need to win your non-conference games and go out and steal one. Even though now you're a huge underdog against a couple of these other teams, but if you happen to beat Missouri at the end of the year, even though it's a 13-point line at this point, I wouldn't be shocked. It's not like they're Alabama. It's not like they're Auburn, LSU, Georgia. They're not any of those teams, but you better beat the teams that on paper are similar to you. And you better keep those programs behind you, because I talk about this in basketball all the time. The hardest thing to do isn't catching Kentucky and Florida at the top. The hardest thing for Mike Anderson to do is keeping Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Alabama behind him. Mm-hmm. And at this point, if you're Arkansas and you're Chad Morris, year one, how about you not continue to stay at the back of the pack? How about you say, hey, I'm not going to accept that, and I'm going to the middle the first year, and after that I'm going to start trying to compete for the SEC West. Until we start saying that, or until the coaches start to say that and believe that, and not only say it, but do things that are going to get you there. It's a difference in Brett Bielema saying every week that we're close and then taking a vacation at the end of the year instead of recruiting. Do things that's going to actually get you there. And I think if they want to win a bowl game, though, you're going to have to beat Vandy. You're going to have to beat Ole Miss. I just don't see a scenario that lines up that Arkansas does not win against Vandy and Ole Miss and they still go to a bowl.
All right, we'll talk it over with former Razorback quarterback Tyler Wilson on the other side of the break. He'll join us. We'll continue this schedule conversation in the critical swing games and the tough stretches in the season. We'll do that next here on the Morning Rush. We're brought to you by Gaston's White River Resort, a place you can make great family memories, memories that you'll be talking about for years to come. When you talk about it, you know, 3, 4, 5, 10 years after the fact, that great fishing trip you had with the kids on the White River. It's a great place to also take clients. It's a great place to take your business retreat, your business meeting. When you got to get everybody in the office away to have some, you know, some part fun and part work, Gaston's is a perfect place for that. It's a great place for family reunions. It's all there. This is a great time of the year, too, because the kids can go and say, well, my kids' attention spans, they're not going to last all day out on the river fishing. They got a pool there. They got playground areas there. They got plenty of things to do besides fishing at Gaston's to entertain the whole family. Great restaurant. They got guides. They got everything you need right there at Gaston's. To make sure you have a great family getaway at Gaston's White River Resort. 870-431-5202. Call Clint and his gang, and they'll set up a perfect getaway for you at Gaston's White River Resort. We're like a month away from the kids going back to school. So if you're looking for that final weekend getaway, Gaston's is the perfect place. 870-431-5202 for Gaston's White River Resort. Gaston's, a first-class time. Every time.
Rush on Twitter at Morning Rush Show. This is the Morning Rush.
Glad you're here. Final half hour of the Morning Rush on a What's Your Beef Wednesday. It's time for our Washington Regional Medical Center question of the day. Washington Regional committed to providing stroke care that aligns with the latest research-based treatment guidelines. Studies show that patients recover better and faster when they follow these guidelines. Washington Regional proud to be recognized by the American Heart Association for achievement in the Get with the Guidelines and Target Stroke Quality programs. This just one more way Washington Regional is working to improve health care for you and your family. More details online at WRegional.com. Former Razorback great Tyler Wilson is here alongside NFL free agent, 10 years with the Packers. Brett Good, former Razorback, is here. I'm Tommy Kraft. All right, here's the Washington Regional question of the day. We've been talking about schedule, been talking about a lot of different aspects and angles for this season. What would be the one win that would probably mean the most this year to Chad Morris? This is going to be a year that's probably going to be lean on wins. If you're looking at it from trying to get to 9 or 10 or 11, it's not going to happen this year, but that's where Morris wants to build this program too. So if you could be guaranteed one win in any single game, I know a lot of people would say Alabama, but what would be the one win do you think would mean more to him personally than any other game? Would it be his alma mater in A&M? Would it be beating Gus and Auburn? Or would it just be getting 1-0 against Eastern Illinois? That'd be the coach's answer, I guess.
I'm going with Missouri because that's the one that probably gets you into a bowl game and, all right, you know, kind of makes the program move forward.
And it would be the last taste everybody would have.
Yeah.
You know, Petrino in his first year didn't get bowl eligible, but Tyler, you were there. You were on the sideline. You won a big game against LSU. Now, Missouri's not LSU, and they're not going to be, I presume, where LSU was at that time with their program. But that was like a bowl win to this fan base, to this state in year one. I, you know, There's something about your lasting image being a win that means a lot. That's why these bowl games, while they may not be the prestige of some of these New Year's Day Six and the FBS games and playoff games, you know, that last burning image of a victory matters so much. So I like your answer with Missouri there, Brett.
Yeah, you know, and I'm going to go with Texas A&M, and I know that may be the low-hanging fruit here, but I think Texas A&M's important because it's one of those games that you know, fans get the opportunity to be in an environment and be down in Dallas. It is in Dallas this year, right? Is that right? Or am I just off track, right? Okay, so I know that we went and did the home and away deal. But now we're back in Arlington or back in Jerry's World, and I was down there last year. The environment is always great. It's always an unbelievable venue, and I think that's so vital to the success of in the feeling of Razorbacks. Are we back? We've had obviously a drought there. I think that's the low hanging fruit, just from a feel good perspective. And I think it's one where you get an SEC win. It potentially would be your first SEC win of the schedule. You know, you've got Eastern Illinois, Colorado State, North Texas, and then, you know, you've got Auburn. I think that Texas A&M would be a huge, huge in-conference win and get you started off early in conference play with a win in SEC play.
I think maybe that you mentioned the Colorado State game, that first three-game stretch with Eastern Illinois, Colorado State, North Texas. That Colorado State game may be as big as any because, A, it's your first real road game, first real road test. You got to fly the team out there. You got to go through all the game day operations and doing them away from Fayetteville. It's probably the biggest, I don't think in question, biggest obstacle to standing in your way to being a 3-0 team after the North Texas game. I mean, you got bigger issues if you don't beat Eastern Illinois and North Texas. I'm not saying there's guaranteed wins, but those are about as close to guaranteed wins as you got on this schedule this year. So, boy, if you can win that Colorado State game, while that's not as sexy as some of the other answers that are here on the test,
well,
it could get you to a 3-0 start, energize a fan base, knowing you're heading into the teeth.
That's it.
That's the teeth of the gauntlet here with Auburn, A&M, Alabama all on the road. The toughest three-game stretch you got, one of the toughest three-game stretches in the country. You at least know, hey, yeah, we got to go up and play these three teams, and we may go 0-3, but we got at least at worst case, we're going to be 3-3 after the midway point of the season.
And
that's why that Colorado State game might be larger than you think.
I'm with you, Tom, and I feel like you've got to go on the road and prove that you can travel and that you can handle yourself in an offside environment and find success. And I think that's so big for the team, beyond, you know, just looking at the logo and looking at Arkansas versus whoever from a program standpoint. And if you're Chad Morris trying to build confidence within your team and how to travel and how we operate, that's going to be their first time where they all travel together under a new set of rules and a new set of circumstances and procedures. And can we travel? Can we operate as a team in an environment that's less friendly where it's loud? It's probably going to be a little, you know, I look at Colorado State. I mean, it's one of those places where it's not an SEC environment. It's much different than an SEC environment. You're going to be in the mountain. There's a lot of mystique to that place. And, you know, there's some adjustments. Yeah. I mean, I think that's stuff we don't ever talk about on the show because very rarely is Arkansas in a position where they've got to go into certain elements and adjust. You listen, you know, Brett, I don't know if you ever played, you know, at Mile High Stadium, but all these NFL teams, they talk about traveling to Mile High and being in Denver and being in that area. I know Colorado State's obviously not in Denver, but nonetheless, you're at altitude. And I think there are certain obstacles there. Can you travel as a team and overcome that early on in the season and acclimate with Chad Morris? I think that will be an absolute huge win, Tommy. I think you're dead on there.
It definitely is tough to breathe up there. You know, we had a nutritionist come in and say that it wasn't. It took 4 days to adjust to the altitude before it really got you. But we had a lot of guys that were hitting the oxygen tank. So it definitely can get you with the altitude there.
All right, let me look at something else because I got the SEC composite schedule. And we brought this up earlier in the show. And Tyler, I want to really get your take on this, and Brett, you follow up as well. Arkansas gets to play three different teams on their schedule the week following that team playing Alabama. Now, when you played at Arkansas, Alabama wasn't quite the Alabama they are today. And, Tyler, you've played them when they've been at their absolute best. But you play A&M, you play LSU, and then Mississippi State in that order of the teams on your schedule that play Alabama the week prior to Arkansas getting to take on A&M in Arlington. Then playing Mississippi State on the road at the end of the year and LSU in the middle of the year. And you get LSU, by the way, for Arkansas coming off the bye week. And you play them at home. How big an edge is that? How beat up are you mentally and physically after playing Bama, number one? And number two, you're playing, you know, you get to play a team that probably is maybe looking past an Arkansas a little bit at that point. So how big an edge is that, or is it even a factor in those three games that you're playing those three opponents the week after they play Alabama? What does it mean?
I think all 5 years when I was at Arkansas, we played Alabama early on in the season, within the first four games of the mm-hmm. year, in some cases the first three games of the year. And I always thought that was a disadvantage to us. You know, I think there's and obviously they got to play the same, you know, schedule. But I always felt like, you know, that was the we always were in a position where we'd play, you know, three cupcakes or two cupcakes. And then you got to be ready for the monster. And the speed differential between what you're seeing in game one and game two, and then you know, the massive upswitch and uptick from playing Troy to playing Alabama is night and day. And, you know, I think with this schedule at least, and I know you can make the argument, well, you're going to be beat up by the time you get there, but you're going to face the speed, and you're going to be presented with the same caliber of athlete or similar caliber athlete when you're playing Auburn and when you're playing Texas A&M, and Alabama just becomes another team at that point, and you're not so just, you know, struck by, you know, the lightning, so to speak, of playing a different speed and physicality than you've seen really all off season. So I think there's some value in it if you maybe can think positively like that.
Oh, absolutely. I've heard so many times after a loss, don't let that team that you just lost to beat you the next week. And I think that could actually get into mm-hmm. some of these other teams' minds after an Alabama.
I like you're playing Mississippi State, which I think Starkville is one of the toughest places to go win a football game in this league. But you play Mississippi State down in the schedule after they played the week after playing Alabama and the week before, not quite a week before, they play Ole Miss. So you're sandwiched in between Bama and their rival. I think that's a good spot to be on the schedule and going to a tough place to play in Starkville. So that's one game, one place on their schedule that you kind of like to be if you got to go to Starkville and play. LSU, you get them the week following the Bama game. That's always a big emotional game. Now, you've been there before. Arkansas has played LSU following that game, and it's not always worked out well. And you kind of took your anger out on you before. And then, of course, we mentioned the A&M game. We'll see how Arkansas does. Now, A&M's got to travel to Tuscaloosa for that game, too. So it'll be interesting to see how all of that works out. All right, 844 on the program. I want to let you know about our friends at Little Switzerland Cabins and Chalets. Scenic beauty, natural wonders of the Ozark Mountains, all just 2.5 miles north of Jasper. There is tons of things to do. We got to go spend a couple days up at Little Switzerland. There's like 500 hiking trails within 30 miles. There's the Buffalo River you can float. If you want to go elk watching, if you want to go cave and cavern touring, they got that. There's just something to do for everybody and every age group. Canoe rentals, swimming holes, perfect for this time of the year. Butch and Miss Red, they will help you line up the activities that are perfect for you and your family. 870-446-2810. They got all kinds of accommodations. Whether it's two or a group or a family, they got houses that are away there, off in the mountains and secluded. They got the cabins there that are on the property at Little Switzerland, and you're just 2.5 miles north of Jasper that features some great restaurants like the Ozark Cafe. So give them a call, 870-446-2810. Miss Red will get you fixed up, or go online to cabinsintheozarks.net and get more details as well. That's Little Switzerland Cabins and Chalets, 870-446-2810. 28-10.
The Morning Rush podcast is brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Freedom Reserve. This red lager is specially brewed for proud veterans across the country. For every case purchased, Budweiser will donate $1 to Fold of Honor, a nonprofit providing scholarships to families of fallen soldiers. Bud Light, please drink responsibly.